Feel No Way, says Peter Tosh. It's from his 1983 album, Mama Africa. Feel No Way means don't get rattled about it. You know, you can't, it says, you can't plant trees and reap rice. So in other words, there's a certain sense of predictability about things, and when they happen, despite the big hubbub that is being made, just remain calm, because it's happened before. You just probably were not paying attention. This is Lead Stories. I'm Mutrice Lead, and we're talking about the ick factor today. The ick factor, what's that? Well, it's the fact that, according to polls, despite the fact that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the front runners in the 2016 presidential race, more than half of Americans can't stand Hillary, and an even greater number can't stand Donald Trump. And yet they're winning. So here we are. It's an anomaly. How could people so despised, so disliked, so distrusted, so objected to, continue to hold the front-runner status? It's a really interesting American dilemma. I read with interest a piece in the New York Times by Michael Barbaro, and he says the headline is, Mr. and Ms. Unpopular, Most Americans Don't Like Donald or Hillary. The story is based on a Gallup poll that showed that 53% don't like Clinton and 63% really don't like Trump at all. And yet, they say, there is a historic moment here in all of this, because there's no precedent for this. They can't remember an election in recent memory where this has happened. So for all kinds of reasons, this is a bizarre election. The people can't stand these folks, and yet they seem to be headed toward nomination. And we have Donald Trump even threatening, you know, riots would break out, basically, you know, by insinuating that they should, by suggesting the power of suggestion, should he not get the nomination. And it is quite possible that he may not get the nomination, because according to the Republican system of delegate apportionment, he is running actually behind. He's not as far ahead as he wants to be, or as he's telling people that he is. And he needs to have a full complement of delegates by the time the Republican Party meets in Cleveland this July to decide who the nominee will be. And it mirrors what is happening on the Democratic side. You have Hillary Clinton just drenched in delegates, but really, if you subtract the super delegates, that strange group of we've been talking about, if you take those away, Bernie Sanders is within striking distance of Hillary Clinton capturing the nomination on the Democratic side. So we see that on both parts, the duopoly is playing all kinds of interesting games that are contrary to this notion of democracy, where everybody participates and the people elect the leaders, the people elect their representatives. That this is not what happens. This is not what is happening. And in that sense, there's history being made here too, in the sense that the general population is being apprised of how this whole thing actually works. Many people have written me saying this is a wake-up call to them. They never heard of this delegate process. They thought that this is, you know, they're voting. And of course, for certain constituencies, that's exactly what they want them to think. You're voting, you're being a good citizen. But no, this is party business. The party is taking care of its business, and it has all kinds of intricate rules, and it has all kinds of means of completely undermining the will of the people. So it's a very interesting time in that sense, because we have, by any number of reasons, I think, contribute to this anomaly that the most hated people in the race are actually in the forefront of it. And the duopoly is the same. I mean, they have the same pattern. But I want to go back to yesterday's discussion, because we had so many calls and I couldn't accommodate them all. What should Bernie do at this point? We have Bernie Sanders saying, although there's growing pressure, you know how this works, the media playing their predicted role of acolyte to whoever they expect to get the largest sum of advertising money from, in this case, Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side and Donald Trump on the Republican side, they tend to kind of fall in line, shall we say. And in falling in line, the media have begun to nudge Bernie, saying, listen, you know, it doesn't look like you're going to make it. Maybe you should just kind of drop out of the race, maybe, and clear the path, really, the path. This is the new word now, the path toward victory for Hillary Clinton. And to that proposition, Bernie Sanders has said he intends to stay for the race. Well, that's good. But we have been discussing here, is that good enough? Is it good enough for Bernie Sanders to say, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to see this thing to the end. We have to start asking questions. What is the end? We know that he has pledged that whoever the nominee turns out to be, and we are seeing signs that it's turning out to be Hillary Clinton, not necessarily by fair means. We have that sub rosa way in which she is emerging as the front runner with these superdelegates. But he has already indicated that he intends, if it's not him, he will basically go along with the party's nominee, whoever that might be. Now, in the likely scenario where that person would turn out to be Hillary Clinton, then it seems to me that there's a legitimate set of questions to be asked here. What are you going to be doing with all these votes? Is it really all about, well, I gave it the best shot and I didn't win, so the Democrats are better than the Republicans. Are we going to revert to that simplistic analysis? Or what then does he use as a rationale, having stoked the fires of a major new constituency here? We have younger people. We have even older people who had just been so disaffected coming back to the fold, coming back into action. We have people who are open to new ideas precisely at this moment. He has generated a great deal of excitement in this race and has very clearly enlarged the party's base. Now, if he's running as a guy who's going to cause a revolution, and that is based in turn on the idea that he is a socialist and the programs and the policies that he's been touting have to do with that ideological shift within the party, are we looking at the inevitable here that Bernie Sanders will just simply say, if it comes to it, that basically, you know, it was a race well run, and they'll do all that, you know, back pattern and congratulating each other for running a very good campaign. But in the end, if he loses, if he should lose the race by these means, whether it's
that he didn't get as many votes, or whether it is that the delegate process did him in. What is he going to do? And who is making a demand? Who is making a demand that Bernie Sanders account right now? In fact, it's even late, but better late than never. Bernie Sanders needs to make it very plain right now what he intends to do. And will we see a repeat of that Jesse Jackson model, where it suddenly becomes not a people movement, but it's my own personal thing? I gave it my best shot. We're no longer talking the first person plural anymore. We're no longer using the we pronoun. We suddenly start talking I. And then Hillary Clinton is then anointed and given votes she absolutely does not deserve. So what is plan B here? What is it shaping up to be? What are your ideas? Let's continue that discussion on 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. What do you see as the options now, leading into the end of the primary season? That will come to an end in just a blink of an eye. By June, that will be done. So now we will have to, I think it's high time to begin to ask these questions. In fact, these are the questions that should have been asked at the beginning, because that is part of negotiation when you have groups who are organizing themselves in support of any candidate. It is to be imagined, and it is to be expected, that in exchange for their support, there's something being demanded. I don't see it. I mean, I'm hearing talk, well, he will at least affect the Democratic Party platform and will be able to insert in that platform a number of planks that the party probably would not have considered or would not have taken into consideration and put in the platform as their official policy. But that's not good enough. Now, we got some reaction so far, people saying, hey, you know, you're kind of being hard on Bernie, and you ought to let up a little bit. And because he is doing his best, he has a formidable task. He has had to start a campaign. He's had to fund the campaign. He's had to run a campaign, and he has had to run against opponents. And all of that can't be done. I mean, give the guy a break. Give him some slack. I say no. I understand all of that. But anybody running who says they didn't consider these things, to me, is just not telling the truth. This is part of what happens. This is par for the course. You take on a job. But I insist the reason that we have to make demands is because, in my view, he is doing extremely well. And that is indicative not so much, not just, I should say, because of his message, if you will, but because it has excited community support, grassroots support, and it is a movement. Now, we can't just have movements being born only to be shot down right after the right after November. We can't have it, and we can't tolerate this from a Bernie Sanders. This business of that this at this point in time, we don't have an exact clue as to where he's headed, and nobody seems willing to put his feet to the fire on this. And that's all I'm saying. He does not get a free pass, because if he intended this to be the course of events, then it was, to be fair, he should have said to his constituencies, you know what, this is what I aim to do. Set out from the beginning. But you're firing up the imagination of people, you're telling them that this is how, you know, what you're about, and I believe he's very, very sincere about that. And he is registering as being very sincere in what he believes. I still have problems with his ideological rationales for things, and the discomfort I have also with his closeness to the establishment, the Democratic Party establishment. I'm not so sure that he differs markedly from the prevailing view within the Democratic Party. But on a tactical basis, I say, okay, you have my attention. Okay, great. And he has been winning, in my view, the same way I said Jesse Jackson was winning. Not in the way that people are defining it, but in the way that needs to be defined, meaning there is, this movement is a catalyst for change. And not because of the person running, but because the people's energy and attention are directed and focused at a particular task. And that is constructing something of an alternative to the duopoly. So that is very, very significant. Major, major plaudits for exciting this constituency this way. However, that does not relieve you of the burden of accountability. And nor does it relieve the people whose energy is being summoned and being directed. They have a responsibility to honor the integrity of that support by asking these questions and getting answers. Well, Robert is going to start us off today. Robert from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Robert. How are you?
Okay. Let me give myself a little bit of an introduction. My name is Robert Gumbs. I have a television show on the Public Access Cable Network, every Saturday at 3 o'clock, called the Concerned Forum. And what I've been doing lately, and I need to put this out there, I am an adamant supporter of Bernie Sanders. I also happen to be a registered Democrat. I think the problem that we are having is this, that word, third party. Now, I don't know, you know, why people, when they talk about third party, why they don't also acknowledge that the last successful third party that we had here in the United States was called the Out of the Way Midwestern Party, started in 1854, and they 4 years later, or 6 years later, I should say, championed a tall lawyer by the name of Abraham Lincoln, called the Republican Party. And since that time, Americans have shown time and again that while a third party might, you know, gain a large amount of public support, that when push comes to shove, people in this country, they just don't want to see a third party go across the finish line. And that's the reason why we haven't had a successful third party candidacy since 1860. Now, I will say that third parties have had an effect upon our elections, but they've usually been a negative effect. See, this is not Europe. I spent a lot of time in the Middle East and in Europe. And I will tell you that in Europe, the way that their electoral system is set up, you can have, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 different parties. Here in the United States, when you have a third party, the purpose of a third party is usually to hurt some other party to stop someone, that sort of thing. And I think that therein lies the problem. Now, you ask, what is Bernie going to do? What are his supporters going to do? Well, me, myself, I'm planning to do a demonstration the first Saturday in May down by the, Fox Network. Primarily because I have just gotten so disgusted at a lot of the conservative lying crap that they have been putting out, number one, and in particular, the way that they have attacked the poor people who are suffering in Flint, Michigan, and they hold these people up as laughing stocks, saying that the Democratic Party is just using these people, okay, to get black votes,
Robert, I don't want to interrupt, but I want to bring you back to the question at hand. You're giving us a very accurate and a very, much-needed a panoramic view on the role of media and third parties and so forth. But the question at hand here is, what is it that Bernie Sanders is going to do? Do you know? Are you satisfied with that you know what he's going to do? And if so, what is it?
Just like I was having a discussion with one of my Bernie people the other night, and I said that the best that we can do is work to keep what he's saying alive within the Democratic Party. The Tea Party was able to pull the same, what I'm thinking, they were able to pull a rump within the Republican Party. And there's no reason why progressives can't do the same thing in the Democratic Party. It will be a fight.
All right, let's see what people think about what you have offered today. I thank you for doing so. Thank you so much, Robert, for your call and for getting us started today. From New Jersey, Pam, what are you thinking?
Hi, Etrice.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, hi. I'm going to vote for Jill Stein because she's the only one that wouldn't go to war and kill people in other countries. And I'm thinking about, I think it's legal to go to the post office and have a table and show her videos on YouTube or in her website, jill2016.com. So I'm thinking about doing that. And
the question at hand, Pam, is what do you think about what it is Bernie Sanders either will do or should do at this point?
I really don't care either way if he stays in or drops out. I just hope none of them win because they're all going to know people in other countries.
Okay, well, this is interesting. Why don't you care whether he stays in or drops out?
Because, well, one of them is going to win, and I think they're all going to be murdering people in other countries, and I would like Jill Stein to win, but she probably won't, but I'll keep voting until one day she does.
Okay. Do you think that enough pressure is being brought on Bernie Sanders to articulate what he's going to do with his votes and make that clear? As clear as he's made his message?
I really can't tell you because I really haven't been listening much to all of them because I don't really like them all.
You're not listening. You just turned them off.
And I go to the internet and listen to what Jill Stein says. She's the only one I can listen to without feeling sick that I'm listening to a psychopath, egotistical maniac.
Now, if I could press a little bit here, why does Jill Stein and the Green Party, for example, why is it more relevant to you than being within the Democratic fold, as Robert had suggested, that we stay within the Democratic fold, and perhaps by supporting Bernie Sanders, the Democratic Party at least changes and you use the phrase pivots toward these constituencies that have been ignored.
Well, I always voted for what I believed in the most. I don't really care about your color. I believe in what you believe in, or your party. The party and the color don't matter. It's what you believe in and who you are. And Jill Stein would be the best for the Black Americans and the world because she's, you know, anti-murdering Black Americans, police murdering Black Americans. And so she would be better for the Black people more than Obama has been.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pam, for contributing today. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Berkeley. Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Hello, wonderful you, Therese. Well, I think
Hello, wonderful
time...
Harvey.
Well, you know, I can't speak to Hillary right now, but I think it's time to expose Trump's connections to the crime families of America. The press has to do their job in exposing Trump's connection, because you don't just open up a casino in America without having underground connections or crime connections. It's all very, you know, these are crime syndicates, and it's all very carefully controlled. So you have to be part of the crime syndicate before you can open up a gambling casino. And also his connections to the construction industry, there's many illegal things that he's done. Who knows what he's involved with and who he's involved with in the construction of his buildings, but it's known that he used non-union labor. He imported labor. There were safety violations, including work helmets on his jobs there. So he's really, and then I also call for the exposure of his tax returns. I'm sure, knowing the guy, I'm sure there's a lot of illegal stuff there, but basically it's his connections to the crime families in the casino business, and I feel that this should be exposed right away.
Okay, well, you make a point about the role of the press and the media here, and that is well taken. However, the question to you today is, what happens with these votes given to Bernie Sanders?
Well,
what's he going to do with them?
I don't understand the question. Can you express?
What do you think? Do you think that Bernie Sanders ought to make it very plain what he intends to do with these votes?
With these votes, did you say the word votes?
Yes, the votes that he's getting as a Democratic socialist working within the Democratic Party, running as a quasi-independent candidate.
Yes, well, I feel that it actually takes a guy like Trump and Hillary to put Bernie in, because they're so dirty, the both of them, in terms of one is political shenanigans and the other is crime, dealing in the world of crime, that the exposures of those things will actually get Bernie the votes he needs.
Okay. Thanks, Harvey. Thanks for your call today. 888-874-4888. Now, if you're listening, as my mother would say, with your listening ears, you're hearing a certain kind of discomfort. We don't really want, to ask Bernie what he's going to do. What are you going to do with these votes? And I think this is a major question. It can't be assumed that he will do the right thing. But what if he does, what is the right thing? Just to run and say, well, I ran a race and I got X number of votes. Okay, well, that's fine. Now that you have these votes, what are you going to do with them? And I think it's a legitimate question, but it's not being asked. And there's a certain reluctance. People interpret it as beating up on Bernie, and I say, no, it's not. It's asking for accountability and to make sure that he understands that the support he is getting is, in fact, a pledge of faith that he would be doing the right thing and not returning this support to the Democrats. This is not what people are voting for. They're not voting for the Democratic Party when they cast their vote for him. They're voting for him because he's articulating a different vision, and I believe he's sincere about that. However, I am puzzled about the silence on this question. What is he going to do with these votes? He's going to end up with several million votes. Jesse Jackson ended up with 3+ million in the first round in 1984 and in excess of 7 million votes in 1988, and then specifically set about the task of killing the Rainbow Coalition. He dismantled it himself and put all of those votes into the Democratic Party basket for personal gain. Now, here we have a possible repeat, and I'm asking, what should Bernie be doing? Sean from White Plains, what do you have to say?
I think Bernie Sanders is placed there only for the purpose of trying to keep people in the Democratic Party. Otherwise, obviously, Jill Stein is the person for the job. Obviously, the Republican Party, it's just a parade of sociopaths. And I can't see the institution changing just because Bernie said a few things. If he was really against Hillary, he would really bring out some of the things that, you know, would make her look. I don't know anybody who likes Hillary Clinton, so obviously the whole system is rigged. And Jill Stein is,
so what should he do?
What should he do?
And what should people be doing on this question?
They should be using the internet and voting for the Green Party, because a third party is the only answer. The Democratic Party will not enable Bernie Sanders to do anything once he is elected. So it's really not much he can do. I mean, that answers your question pretty well, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Well, I see your point. However, he is saying that he's committed to doing something different. Do you get a sense that what that something different is right now from him in his own words?
No, because there's no plan, there's no action, there's no specifics. It's just there's one adversary in this entire thing. It's not Trump against Cruz and Hillary against Bernie. It's about all of them against a Green Party. And so I think if Bernie did get elected, I think he could, I don't know, take some solutions. Have Jill Stein run with him as vice president, and then maybe some of that stuff will get, you know, they will reform Wall Street. They will do something about green power. They will do something to stop all the corporate welfare, you know. But I just don't see the institution changing from Bernie. But what should he do? Let me see. I don't know. Let's go down the seven things that Gary talks about, right?
Your suggestion about a possible forging of ties with the Green Party between Sanders and Jill Stein has been raised before, but are you satisfied with the way the Green Party is working? I mean, is it to your mind doing the kind of community work and bringing its ideas to the people and bringing people's ideas into the party? You think it's been animated enough in doing that?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? We have the internet now. And, you know, in past years, you know, people couldn't really get the message out. People couldn't. I mean, look, somebody could put a singing cat on the internet and it gets a million views. So why can't we, you know, start going viral with the thing that matters most? So, yeah, I think it's possible now more than ever. Obviously, you know, Ralph Nader didn't have, you know, the tools that Jill Stein does now and the Green Party has now. But I think it's possible. But, hey, I mean, didn't Jill get arrested last time she tried to show up at the debate? The last one, what was that, 2008?
Right.
So I mean, like, so there's a purpose. There's a purposeful, you know, attack against a third party, and so that's why there isn't enough. There's no media coverage, obviously. There's a fraction of the investment that goes into all these other, I can't even call them leaders, but or candidates, these other sociopaths. So there's no corporate funding behind it. So you can't expect the media or anybody else to fund it and incite everybody. It's up to us. And you know what? All these people they're not doing the wrong thing. Hillary is doing her job. The problem is the American public that just refuses to listen to the sources of truth. And so if everyone's just relaxed sitting on their couch watching whatever, I don't even want to say the channels, but if that's okay, then they're not the problem. The people are the problem. I would love to see everybody stand up, vote properly, and just get a third party, you know, a legitimate third party, call it whatever you want, in America. That's what we need.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thanks for your contribution today. From the Upper West Side, Nat, you're on the air.
Eutrice, it's wonderful hearing your voice. You sound good, and I still pray for you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, yes.
I appreciate that.
Yes, there's other people.
So
that
what
pray
are your thoughts?
For.
What are your thoughts about this Bernie Sanders question?
Yes, what I feel that's going to happen when it gets down to the end game, he's going to give all of his support to Hillary. That's what I feel is going to happen. That's my prediction. Everything will go to Hillary.
Mm. So do you think something could be done right now? Do you think it is wrong to ask what he's going to do and compel him to answer the question?
No, it's not wrong, and he should be asked what he plans to do. But so far, he hasn't brought them plans out. It's except a few times he said that he would support whoever was nominated, and so that means Hillary will be nominated. And unless something strange happens, you know, I hope something strange happens, and he's going to support Hillary, you know, and the people. Who do have a very good chance of becoming president, they're not allowed to. They don't want a third party in there, because the voters heard what the program of Dr. Jill, Jill Stein. They would say, what? Yeah, we can have that. This can be done. They would definitely get behind her. You know. But the mainstream media, they don't want this. So I feel that it's going to be the same old politics, and if something strange doesn't happen, then Hillary will get Bernie Sanders support and votes and delegates. There's no other way that's going to happen. So people need to ask Bernie Sanders now, what do you plan to do?
Exactly. I think
put
so.
Put
I agree.
Put his feet on the fire. Let him make a decision now.
Yes, so that's right.
Very important.
Thank you so much, Nat.
Yes, and you continue to have a wonderful day and great health.
Thank you very much. I sincerely appreciate that. Thank you. Let's go to Indiana. Stephine, you're on the air.
Let me just say I am an avid Bernie supporter. Okay, having said that, I am really concerned that in the end those votes will probably be turned over, if you will, to Hillary, because he's already said if he is not the nominee, he will support whoever the nominee is. Now, having said that, I've been putting out all over social media asking other Bernie supporters, what is our end game? You know, what do we intend to do beyond July, beyond November, win or lose? Because we still need to have some serious plans if we are able to get him in there, because this is going to be a heck of a fight. These people are not just going to relinquish this power just we get somebody in. So I think it's up to us Bernie supporters to really organize ourselves and ask ourselves that question. What is our end game? What are we going to do? I mean, I'm also a Bernie or bust person, meaning, you know, if Bernie is not the nominee. I'm absolutely. There's no way I can vote for an establishment candidate. It's not going to happen. But I think for a lot of Bernie supporters, they think the Bernie or bust is a plan. It is not a plan. Okay, we have to still get our agenda and what we want going. A lot of people say, well, you know, we'll give our vote to Jill Stein. What is the Green Party going to give us? I mean, in the end, that's still just giving a whole bunch of votes over, right, to another party who we can still look at them like we look at the Democrats and say, well, what have you done for me lately? So I think that the movement, the Bernie-crats, whatever other folks want to call themselves, we need to really organize. What are we going to do, win or lose? What is the end game? If the end game is that we want another party, because it doesn't have, we don't have to support the Green Party, and this is, you know, this is not a slam against the Green Party. I mean, Jill Stein's, Dr. Stein's, her platform, you know, hey, it's fine. But we don't just have to have a third party. We can have a fourth party, whatever it is. But we need to figure it out, and we do not need to be another, like the you know, the left wing of the Democratic Party. We need to get out of that altogether. So people just really need to start thinking along these lines, and people are scared to do it because they think, well, then that's us giving up on Bernie. It's not us giving up on Bernie. He said he's going to go to the convention. We're going to go all the way to the convention with him, okay? But we still need a plan. We're talking revolution. How can we say, oh, we're doing a political revolution, and there's no plan? So that's all I really have to say about it.
But wait a minute, you raised a very critical question. A strategy and a plan are not the same thing, right? The support for Bernie is what you're saying is a strategy, but it is not a plan. So what, in your view, is a plan? What would it look like? Give me a couple of elements that if you had to write a draft a plan of some sort, what do you think it would look like?
I think it would look like people would have to get clear on, okay, what is it that we were looking for out of all of this, right? Because it couldn't have been just to get somebody elected. What were we looking for? If it's that a third party that can challenge the establishment, okay, fine. Then we need to organize within our own communities and in our own neighborhoods to start knocking these people out, right? Running candidates of our own from within our movement on all of these different local levels, doing a whole lot of community grassroots work, you know, raising political awareness of people in our communities and watching all of these races, just like what happened over here in Chicago with the race with the prosecutor and all that. We have to, you know, do this work in our communities to get much more aware politically of who's running for all of these other little offices that we ignore and get our people in there. And even these school board elections, get our people in there and organize and rally our people. And in the meantime, still keep as much pressure on the establishment and to develop other ways that we can reach people, because we know we're going to be shut out by mainstream media. So, I mean, I would really want to brainstorm, and that's what I'm trying to do on social media with other Bernie supporters and within the community. What are all the different other ways that we could do? But that would be a start.
Now, what kind of feedback are you getting? What kind of reaction are you getting when you say to fellow Bernie supporters, hey, we may have a strategy here, but we don't have a plan?
What I'm getting now is, It's not over. We're one step at a time. We have to, you know, we have to get him nominated so they don't even, they don't want to deal with it. And so I've been going back and forth with a lot of people, and I'm like, look, we can't wind up like how a whole bunch of people wound up with the so-called movement that was behind Obama. Those people didn't have a plan. The only thing was, we're going to get him elected and it's going to all be okay. And look at how that turned out. We have to start thinking about it now. But they don't. They inter a lot of people. Some people are like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we really do need to start thinking about that, but not really then wanting to really engage me in, okay, what are some of your ideas? I guess because so many other supporters look at it and say, okay, you've given up because of, you know, what happened this last, this Tuesday, you know, with the vote. So they're looking at it as, okay, you're giving up on Bernie, and, you know, this might be encouraging other people to just, you know, just give up. And so that's what I'm really running up against.
Well, I admire your tenacity and your courage and your vision, your clarity about the situation. Thank you so much for contributing today.
Thank you, Yatrice. Take care.
All righty. You too. Well, our last caller is going to be Chris from Lawrence, New York. Hello? You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Am I coming in? Hello?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Oh, how you doing, Yatrice? And hello to the PRN listeners and staff.
Thank you. I'm doing okay.
Thank you. And let me ask you, I came in kind of late. Are we on a specific topic today, or are we just bringing up the Freedom on Friday?
We're talking about has Bernie Sanders made it abundantly clear what he intends to do with what I expect would be millions of votes in this election?
Oh,
is
yes.
He
oh, he definitely, he has definitely made it abundantly clear. I would definitely say in life, as in politics, I would definitely, we have to stop paying so much attention to what they're saying to us and start paying attention to what they're communicating. And if he's supposed to represent some sort of, I don't know, I'll say change or spectacular change or awesome change or whatever he's supposed to represent, if you don't mention things like getting rid of superdelegates, getting rid of the Supreme Court, finding out, you know, and it may sound crazy to some people, but I mean, even having a conversation with America about finding out who killed our president, are some of those people still in power? And yes, and out of our country, we'll go and find them and take them out of office because some of these people are still around. Like, that sounds like radical and extreme change to me. Not, I don't know. It just, everything seems so lukewarm and wishy-washy. Like, if it's change, then it's going to have to be not Hillary, not Trump. Absolutely not, not even halfway. If you're already expressing some sense of sharing of power with people who have already proven that they're going to use it for evil, then you're not changed. You're absolutely the opposite of that. You're just like kind of, what is it? Like you're kind of pulling us along, some sort of, like you're stringing us along. And I think it serves more as a distraction from getting us to an forming an actual new party with this energy. Instead, it is going to exhaust people with the false promise of a new movement. That's all Bernie Sanders is going to do. He's going to get these people riled up and exhausted and tired. And that's all that's going to happen. Because I promise you, this man does not represent change. I'm not saying he's evil. I'm not saying he's, you know, Dick Cheney. But he is not changed.
Do you appreciate the argument that we heard from Stephanie that what essentially we have to confront is that there's a strategy. The strategy is, let's say, shared by many. The strategy is to elect him. But she's saying the strategy is not a plan, and there's no sense that there is a plan as to what to do with these votes, with this burgeoning movement.
There is definitely a plan. Can he just tell us what he's going to do with them? Or do you mean what plan should we have? Uh-oh.
Well, hello? I mean, it depends on how you define it, you know. It depends on how you define it.
If the question is what will he do, I think he already told us. And he won't hand them over. And if the other question is, what could we do? You know, we could start to trust each other. We could kind of try to get into the same state of mind. But people have to really, we're going to have to really think. I mean, not even slightly different. I don't know how to phrase this, but like we're going to have like a complete, we're going to have to exist on a different wavelength. Like I think people are so soft in their thinking, but these people that we're interacting with, they are concrete in their belief system. And we can't be kind of halfway and soft and I'm going to have to say, we can't even be willing to negotiate. We have to demand, and if not, put a stop to everything. And I don't see much, I mean, in my personal life, I'll speak for myself now. I have a job. I make reasonable money as blue-collar jobs go. And I'm saving up to start my own business. And that gives me some sense of control over my life. And then I'm, and hopefully and willing, I'll be able to maybe help someone else free themselves in the same situation I'm in currently. But if we're not working on freeing ourselves mentally and physically and financially, if we're just trying to negotiate some new person in charge of us, like, it's a waste.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your profound observations and your profound thoughts today, Chris. Thank you so much for contributing to the program.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Well, bye-bye. That brings us to the end of our program today. Extraordinary. We still have so many people who want to get in. And, of course, that is, you can do this tomorrow. Free Your Mind Friday is our regular weekly gathering. And it's all about what you're thinking and talking to each other, talking out loud and reasoning. And so tomorrow, get your brains in gear for Free Your Mind Friday. In the meantime, stay tuned. Coming up next is Expanding Mind with Eric Davis, a great program. You want to stay tuned for that. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about the program. And as always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. I sincerely appreciate the caliber of your thoughts and the bravery of letting us into your mind so freely. Thank you so much for that. It's a great honor that you pay us all. So we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye. I say, no, but I feel no way. 'Cause every man get paid, your conscience work this day.